the building. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the My 5 Cents podcast. Let me go ahead and introduce the cast of characters to my diagonal. Up there, we got Achilles.
What's up, everybody? Habitual Line Stepper is here. Let's go.
Let's do it. And to my virtual upstairs, I got the logical genius.
What's up? What's up? The logical one is in the building, ready to roll.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the My 5 Cents podcast, the podcast that offers you perspective and the art of persuasion, where we take our lovely guest, I combine guest and judge together, so I guess they do become a guest at some point. We turn our guest into a judge when they have to figure out all the nonsense that we're giving out. Fellas, how y'all doing this week?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Ready for the show.
Yeah, y'all doing better than my intro, that's for sure. HLS, you good?
I'm good, man. I can't complain, man. Ready to take home this W.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and introduce our guest. And our guest is an American actress and comedian. She has appeared in movies and television, her latest outing being a Lifetime true crime docuseries. Text Me When You Get Home. Tam also has her own radio show entitled Reality Show Roundup. If that's not enough, she has also stays busy on the comedy circuit, doing stand-up across the country. In her free time, she loves continuing education and believes there's always something to learn. Please welcome to the show, Tam Taylor. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What up, Tam Taylor in the house, Big T.
Let's go.
I love it. What's up, Tam?
I just felt like I had to match your like intros that you guys were so good at.
That was much better than ours, actually.
Yeah, that was great. I'm in the building, you in the house. That's it. We loving it right now. So Tam, let me start you off with our icebreaker. What is your superpower and how has it assisted you in your journey?
My superpower is just playing stupid. Like, being the dumb blonde, being the dumbest blonde in the room is my superpower. Because nobody expects anything out of me, and then they get everything.
Okay, so you set the bar real low, and then you just punch them right in the teeth.
Just like in my relationships.
Oh, my goodness. Damn. Are we abusive in our relationships? No.
Not yet. We're good right now.
Okay, good, good, good. So, Tam, in your bio, it talks about you being a comedian. When did you know that this was the lifestyle that you wanted to live?
You know, I think I just got tired of people laughing at me and decided I want them to laugh with me. So, you know, that's kind of how I did it. But, you know, I've been on stage off and on for the past 30 years. I'm not going to tell you exactly how old I am. But, I started in Vegas and started on different stages doing different things. I didn't start out as a comedian or an actress. I started out as a theater person. So I was, you know, doing shows on stage. And then, you know, you get to play the younger ingenue parts. And as you age, you get into mother. And then when you get to my age, it's kind of just campy. You do crazy roles. So it was just kind of a natural progression to do comedy and to try to make people laugh. And especially in today's climate, everything is so crazy, especially since the pandemic. People just need to laugh more.
Yeah.
100%. And if I can make one person laugh when I'm doing comedy, or hell, if I can make one person laugh when I'm at the grocery store, I've done my job for the day.
Nice. Thank you for answering that.
Speaking of that, I mean, since you're constantly funny, like the grocery store, on stage, is there ever a time that you turn it off? Or like, are you always testing out material on everybody all the time?
If you ask some people, I turn it off when I get on stage. depends on who you ask, I guess. You know, everybody has their downtime. I don't know if I'm down. It depends on the situation and the people that you run into. Everyone has their off days. Everyone has their bad days. I just try to go through life as funny and as positive as I can. That's so it's, I'm kind of on most of the time. Like now I'm kind of on, I guess this would be considered on. And I guess I turn off when I go to bed.
Okay. Okay.
So how does that work? Like, how's that been with your relationships then? Like both like romantic and like just family and friends, right? Cause they must, especially your family and friends must be like, oh my God, Tam, like, can you just not right now, like not do that and not be you right now?
Well, my family kind of just knows that's me. And if you ever met my mom, you would understand.
Okay.
Like, she's 78 and she just got pulled over for speeding the other day. And wow. She asked the cop if if she showed him her boobs, if she could get out of the ticket.
Stop it.
This is serious. And I came home and she told me the story and I said, well, did he give you did you show him your boobs? And I said, she said, well, I didn't get a ticket. So, they say the apple in the tree. So my mom's pretty wide open. My whole family's a little bit crazy. We're from the South, obviously, with this accent. So, we're just a big old Southern family with just big Southern personalities. And, they know to expect anything and everything out of me and not to question it. Just go with it. The best thing for them to do is laugh and go with it.
Nice.
Tim, you know, I heard you in the stand-up routine. You often get confused for Stifler's mom.
I do.
Have you ever used that to your advantage?
I mean, I can't say that on here if I have or not.
Yes, you can. Why can't you?
Right? Just a few of my closest friends. I always say if Godzilla and Stifler's mom had a baby, that would be me. So I don't know. And you asked earlier about relationships. I have had some crazy ass relationships. Mm. So I'm probably not the best person to ask about relationships. I mean, I've been held at gunpoint in my relationship. I have been, like, it was very like, I was divorcing someone and it was very like, if I can't have you, no one can type of situation.
Wow.
Where the actual SWAT team comes and evacuates the neighborhood and has to come in and pull me out. So, I mean, I've done that. I've dated younger men. I've dated older men. Mainly I dated older men because I needed some bills paid. But, you know, so I'm probably not the person to ask about relationships. I just think my personality is extremely big. So the person I'm with has to be extremely confident.
So then we spoke about the comedic piece of it. Now, getting to the acting, how did you transition to a place of, all right, now I want to be on the acting scene?
Well, like I said, I did theater for a while. I played around with acting, and now I'm just kind of taking it a little more seriously. I just got cast in a great horror movie called Killer Pizza. So if anybody out there is listening right now, they can probably go to the Facebook page. I think it's the Killer Pizza movie, and that's going to be filming this year. And I've got some great stuff coming out this year. I play a madam of a hooker house, if you can believe that or not.
Okay.
When you look at me, you don't see that. But I get to play a broke down prostitute this year, which I know you can't believe that either. So, and my favorite one's going to be the aging stripper movie. So, you know, I think it was just something. I did a reality show in 2015 on TLC. And
which one?
The name of the show?
It's called Behind Closed Doors, The American Family. And you can still watch it. I think it's on, you can stream it on Max or stream it on Amazon or somewhere now. It's still out there. And so I actually played me in, I mean, I played me, I was me in the show. They put cameras in my house 24/7, even in the bathroom. So like, I didn't
really,
like I didn't pee for the first 3 days that they had it up there.
Oh my goodness.
It's a lot. It It was a lot. They have to blur a lot of things out. I had a whole camera crew. It's called the Video Village. So they've got all their video equipment, all the producers and people are back in my pool house. And then they're watching everything that goes on in my house. And it was just absolutely insane. I was with someone at the time who we just did not get along. And you just literally see my, if you want to see a bad relationship, go watch this because you literally see my relationship implode, explode, all the loads. You see it. It's I had to flee the country. I literally fled the country after this breakup. I went to Italy for about a month because the breakup was so bad. I fled the country. I have and after all that, I thought, you know what? This would be a great time to go into acting. I don't know how I got there from there, but then
And
that's
there
where I
it
got.
is.
You know, that's where I got.
So wait, let me ask you this too, right? You're super funny. We talked about you shutting it off on and off. Now you're entering the acting world or evolving more into the acting world.
Evolving.
How do I know when you're not being funny? Like your elderly mom flashing her boobs to the police. Like, is that a bit or
No,
is
like
that real? Are you acting with us now, Tam? Because I'm buying all of it. I'm buying
no,
everything you're
I'm
selling.
the reason you're buying it is because it's the absolutely the truth. I take a lot of comedy from my real life, which the best comedy comes from tragedy, just so you know that. To me anyway. You would know if I was not being authentic because the camera does not lie. You cannot be an actress and get in front of a camera and pretend to be something. You have to become that person because you've seen bad movies, right? Where you know, oh, she's acting. This is a horrible, horrible plot. She's acting. But if you see a good actor in front of the camera, they just are that character. So me being Tam right now, this is just me. I mean, I don't know. I hope I think the camera would see it if I was not being authentic.
Nice. I guess let me ask this from a comedy standpoint or comedian standpoint or comic standpoint. You've been doing it for 30 years, right? So that puts you about, what, 34 years old or something like that. You've been doing it pretty young, right?
Absolutely.
But so how difficult has it been for comedy where it was 30 years ago in terms of what you can write, what you can talk about? Because you hear comedians talk about it now versus how it is now with all the ways that people can get canceled or whatever, for whatever they say, politically correctness. I mean, political correctness has always been around, but I feel like it's, especially nowadays, I hate when people nowadays, but I feel like it's a lot more scrutinized now, and comedians are going back to things they said 15, 20 years ago and having to apologize for what they said or take back what they said. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so you said 30 years. I've not really been a comic for 30 years. I started out as a showgirl.
Okay, yeah.
So I've been on stage for 30 years, and then I evolved into a, we called it a chanteuse, where I would sing some songs, lay across the piano, you know, sit on the nice bald gentleman's head and rub his head th where he was in from out of town, tell a few jokes. So that was kind of comedic. And I did that
Okay.
for a long time and then
Okay.
just evolved into the comedy. But now, you know, I have to be careful because I'm a minority. I am a blonde white woman in America. So I have to really be careful because I mean, I could get canceled for anything I say, but I'm going to tell you, I stand on what I say. If I say it in my comedy, if I say it in real life, I'm never go you're never going to see me anywhere going, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Because if I said it, I said it, that's it.
Gotcha.
Now, next year, you'll probably be going, I you see me going, I am so sorry I said that. But no. But that's just not my person. It's not my personality. I mean, I try not to offend anyone. I try to offend everyone.
Equal opportunist.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'm I just I'm on stage, and if you, it's like I had a show the other night, and we, I have a bit about abortion, and you can hear people audibly gasp in the back. They were like, you know, like that, and I'm like, it's a joke. It's supposed to be funny. And at the end of my show, I literally went, I'm sorry if I offended anyone in here. Did I offend anyone? And they raised their hand, and I said, you know, actually, I was not sorry. Thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for paying money to see me. I'll see you next time. I mean, you just have to. You just have to go with it. Like, you just, if you're canceled, you're canceled. But have you noticed that everyone that has been canceled, they're doing pretty well still, I think.
Good point. Well, that's an argument for a different day.
Well, I mean, it depends on, look, I said what I said, but let me say that. It depends on what you're canceled for.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's true. That's true.
If it's just bad, then it's just bad, but.
That's true.
True. So do you think Kevin Spacey can make a comeback?
Ooh, I don't know about that one. I think Mr. Spacey needs to, you know,
he was found not guilty.
I have so many things to say about this, but I'm not going to say because I'll have to stand on what I say. I believe the victims because I always believe victims. I never victim shame or victim blame until it's time not to believe the victims. And if he was found guilty, he was found guilty. And, you know, that's on the courts. But I think there's a stigma sometimes with that kind of stuff that you just a stink that you just can't get off of you.
It's true.
So with you, your persona, and I mean, your energy, it's very easy to feed off of. Like, you definitely have this lighthearted energy. In your acting career, have you had to suppress that? And how do you suppress it for a more serious role?
Okay, so absolutely. Because when you're auditioning, I've been told, don't be so big. Don't be so big. Don't be so this, don't be so that. But I'm a big person with a big personality and I take up space. And when I got that in my brain, that I am a big personality, I take up space, and started doing my auditions like that, that's when I started booking. So I think, obviously, they're not going to book me for the 5'2" Catholic nun in a movie. I mean, let's just face it. They're not. If they want me, you know, if they want a bad mom, or if they want a snarky waitress, or that's the roles that I'm going to get. So they're going to tend to give me the roles I can go a little bit more over the top with. And if the director doesn't like it, they can always rein you in, but they can't bring you out. Mm. So that's just kind of, that's my own, I don't know, evaluation of the business. if you want to call it that, that's kind of how I do it. But everyone does it differently, and there's so many different paths to success that you just never know. And God knows I'm still on the path, and wish me well.
All right. So I'm going to wish you well for the next segment of this show because you are going to be doing some evaluating. So our topic for today are the best comedians that have turned actors. And The Logical Genius, please explain to our guest, Tam Taylor, what is going to happen next.
All right, Tam, you have experience and knowledge on this particular topic, best comedian turned actors. We've already established your credibility with the audience. And now it's time for you to end this debate HLS Social Juve and I have. And the debate is, who are those top five comedians turned actors? And we each have our own list, and we need you to decide which one of us has the best list. So what we're going to do next is each of us will present to you our top five one at a time. We don't know each other's list, so we have no idea who's on each other's list. And after it, you have to decide who's in third place. We don't care about second place, and we want to know who has the best list, numero uno, number one.
And HLS, please explain to Tam, what is the criteria for judging?
So, Tam, you know, when you're acting, there's rules you have to follow, characters you have to play. When you're on stage, there's a time limit. It might be ordered to your jokes. There's rules and things you have to follow. But this show is none of that.
None.
You might like the fact that one of us here tried to be a stand-up comedian, and that's why you choose him to be number one.
You might like the fact that I'm that person he's speaking about, and that's why you're going to choose me.
You might like the fact that the list is just, wow, it's just logical, and you go with the logical list.
It is completely up to you.
But what you must do now, your first task, is you get to decide who goes first.
Oh, no. I did make my own list, just so you guys know. So I do have my own list.
Okay.
We are going to ask you about that list.
Okay, so I've got my own list too. So I hope some of yours are on my list.
Okay.
I hope.
I do. Let's see who goes first. I'm just going to do like a... Let's do... So-so.
All right. In the building, here we are with my 5 cents on the topic. Oh, man. This one... This was tough because there's really some big names on there that I was like, oh, man. So I always, when I do these lists, I have to keep it personal to me. So at number 5, I have Jamie Foxx. Reason why, got the Jamie Foxx show, you have Ray, you have Any Given Sunday. So those are probably maybe my 3 favorite coming from Jamie. And he is just so versatile between the singing, the acting, the showmanship. He hosted the ESPYs. He roasted Serena, ended up creating like 2 songs off of that thing. Let Me Be Your Tennis Ball. I mean, he is just super, super talented, Jamie Foxx. At number 4, we have Robin Williams. You got Mrs. Doubtfire. You got Good Will Hunting. You have Aladdin, right? I needed something for some animation there, right? So playing the genie, bringing out the genie in Aladdin, fantastic. Miss Doubtfire, I mean, may have set Tyler Perry up for all of those Madea movies right there with the success of Miss Doubtfire. So you really can't underscore his value there. And then Good Will Hunting was just such a great movie in his support in that movie. In, I would say, launching Ben Affleck and launching Matt Damon. Robin Williams, number 4. Number 3. And it's the same series, but I got to put him up there, and that's Martin. You got Bad Boys. You got Bad Boys 2. You got Bad Boys 3. I know he's done some other things, but those are like the big one. And then, of course, you have the show Martin, which is a huge show for the culture. I mean, it's made such an impact in the 90s. Martin maybe doesn't get their due. I know that, I don't know, I think it might have been in the Oscars where the cast of Martin came, or I might be mistaken which award show that they were at. And they all kind of came together thinking they were going to get an award, but they didn't. At number 2, I have Eddie Murphy. You got Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop, and I know these guys are going to laugh at me because it's a personal favorite, but Norbit. I mean, Norbit has a special place. Norbit has a special place in my heart, man. Like, it might have been my life story right there, Norbit. But Eddie Murphy, I mean, what more is there really to say? There's also Nutty Professor, Dr. Doolittle. He has just done so much. First of all, coming from Delirious. Well, I thought that I wanted to be a stand-up comedian because I watched Eddie Murphy, and it really started with Eddie Murphy Raw. So I didn't even watch Delirious first. I watched Raw first, and that will always stick with me. And then you get into Delirious, and then it's like, wait, that's not no McDonald's hamburger. Like, you know, like, it's just Eddie Murphy up there. And at number 1, I have Tom Hanks. You got Forrest Gump. You got Castaway. You got Saving Private Ryan. Castaway is a personal favorite because sometimes I feel like I'm alone on this world with just me and my volleyball. And the passion that he had for that volleyball, I can feel it, you know, especially when I'm at work. I feel like I'm definitely alone with a volleyball at work. So that right there is my 5 cents on the topic, Tam. Who do you want to hear from next?
Let's do logical.
Okay, Tim. So I always have to try to have some sort of logical approach to my list. And this is a very, as Soju said, this is a very difficult list to come up with because of all the angles you could come with and all the great comedians out there that turned actors. But I guess my approach is I start with the comedy first, right? Were they a good comedian? Then how they were successful, or if they were successful in the acting world. So at number five, I have Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, you can say what you want about his movies, right? But he keeps churning them out, and I think he's at like 78 movies at this point in his career. All right. Netflix is just throwing money at him to make movies upon movies upon movies. Before that, he was a comic. And I remember too, back in high school, I had his comedy CD. And I remember the song that he did, was it the Turpentine song? Like he was like a janitor or something like that. But it was one of the most funny albums, comedic albums I've heard. So Adam Sandler for me is number five. At number four, I have Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld turned him being a comedian, being a comic into a sitcom, into a successful career, and in turn into sold out shows post his Seinfeld run, where he's, constantly at shows, selling out shows. So he's been in the business for so long, and it's been so successful. So Jerry Seinfeld for me is number four. At number three, I have also Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, you cannot deny Eddie Murphy being one of the best comics of his generation, and then turning that into a very successful, very abundant acting career where he's done dozens upon dozens of movies, and not just comedies, but ranging from, comedies to action movies to whatever. At number two, I have Jim Carrey. Now, Jim Carrey, again, he was a stand-up comedian, and his acting surprises me because you would think like most actors who are comedians just go into the comedy route, right? But he's done comedy movies where he's outlandish, but he's also done serious movies where he's what is it? I can't think. Spotless Mind, I think that was one
Eternal
of them.
Sunshine of the
Yeah,
Spotless
Eternal
Mind.
Sunshine. Thank you, HLS.
Gotcha.
And the other one with the I'm just blanking right now, where he was born into like a reality show, and
The
you can probably
Truman
relate to
Show.
this. And the Truman Show. Yes, thank you. Where he wasn't being funny, right? He was being a serious actor, and was got received accolades for that. And at number one for me, I enjoy his movies, a bunch of his movies. He's won multiple awards, Daytime Emmys, Oscars. And that for me is Robin Williams, the late Robin Williams. I mean, he was just, he was one of those actors or comedians that you wouldn't, being the way he was, being as crazy as he was, and like he didn't think he would be able to become an actor and just play anything else but Robin Williams, right? Went from Mrs. Doubtfire, he did Bicentennial Man. Excuse me, Bicentennial Man, which is he was a robot, which is one of my favorite movies. What Dreams May Come, all these other movies that he just like excelled at and was great at for not being a comic or a comedian in it, where he was in a serious role. And to me, Robin Williams is the number one person on this list. And Tam, that's my 5 cents.
Gotcha.
So, saving the best for last, Tim. Respect to these guys who tried to come up with a decent list. But this list is the list, Tim. This list is the list. At number five, I have my man Billy Crystal. Right? And there was a time Billy Crystal was comedic and movie gold. You have City Slickers. You have one of my favorite rom-coms of all time, When Harry Met Sally. And he held his own against the legendary Robert De Niro in Analyze This. And then it was so good, they did a sequel, Analyze That. Billy Crystal, number five. And number four, believe it or not, I have Batman. Michael Keaton started his career as a comic. His range since then, since he left that, he's done award-winning work. He played the Birdman in winning award. He's done comedic roles when he first started. He's done dramatic roles. His range is incredible. Michael Keaton at number four. And number three, you heard this name before, I have Jamie Foxx. He is a powerhouse. He killed Ray. Like, his acting chops in that movie, he embodied that character. He's played quarterbacks. He played zombie killers. He's played cops. He's played lawyers. He's played people on death row. His range is really, really talented, really incredible. And number two, and I'm surprised you guys don't have a woman on your list. I have the one and only Whoopi Goldberg, the first ever EGOT winner. So she started doing comedy, she did Ghost, where she won an award. Color Purple, the dramatic and the legendary, they just remade it recently. I heard it doesn't measure up to the first, but Color Purple, Whoopi Goldberg killed that. Sister Act, Whoopi Goldberg. She has a list of movies as well. Her acting chops are up there. And number one, I can't believe So-So Juve had him at number four. Logical Genius was smart to have him at number one, but Robin Williams. His acting range, I don't even know how to describe the talent behind this man. He's gone too soon, emotional struggles. But from comedic roles to Mrs. Doubtfire to serious roles, as they mentioned in Good Will Hunting, he played a stalker in 1 Hour Photo. He played children movies in the Peter Pan and Flubber. Like, anything Robin Williams touched was amazing. And I think a lot of people could learn. And if you were to track your career, you want to mold it after a comedian turned actor, I would try to mold it after Robin Williams. And that, Tam, that's my 5 cents on the best comedians turned actors.
Okay.
All right. So, Tam, you've heard the list. What's going to happen is next week, we're going to want to hear your decision. So tune in next week, everyone, as Tam comes together, as we try to persuade her in the right direction, and she makes her choice on who is third and who is first. All right, we'll see y'all next week. Peace.